College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The scenes behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, aha.
Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season. This is episode 173. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. Apologies if you hear me coughing or hacking up a lung like I'm Eric or Jason during this episode. I'm fighting through illness.
Is this going to be a three-week thing? Like Drab always does whenever he gets a cough. He can't shake it for 3 weeks.
I'm no doctor, but my research indicates that I may have bronchitis.
Bronchitis.
Yes.
You did your own research?
I did my own research, and through my investigation, this past Memorial Day weekend, I was doing yard work, basically three days a week, and the combination of the leaves that I had to rake up and the dust all around inside and outside, and I was also being white trash and burning sticks instead of disposing them in bags, so that combination of dust and smoke and debris for 3 days straight inhaling has me conclude that I may have bronchitis. So I'm like sick boy on Van Wilder. You ever, right? When they knock on the guy's room.
I think he just got a little cough.
Maybe.
I don't think he got bronchitis.
Maybe just a smidge.
Don't you have to have like a cough for a long time to get bronchitis?
It lasts like 2 weeks.
I don't know. I have no idea how it works.
That's what WebMD told me.
All right.
I did all my
WebMD. What is this? 1997.
One more thing is I wanted to thank all the biddies for their congratulatory messages to me when I announced my engagement.
Yeah,
I got a.
You heard it here first. In fact, I think you only heard it here. Did you not talk about it on the big show?
I didn't mention it.
All right, take me through that because we did Bit Season last Wednesday,
right?
Then I wasn't here Thursday and Friday for the procedure, but you decided not to talk about it on the junks. Why here and not there? I honestly do not know the answer to this.
It's a multiple of multiple reasons why.
Okay.
Number one, I think this platform deserves it. I feel like it kind of deserves the breaking news. You heard it here first because I am a host on this show, even though I've been on the Junkies much, much longer. Have been on there for more than 173 episodes. Also, it's a comfort thing.
Right.
You
get to control the dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. I control the dialogue. I'm much more comfortable talking to you about it. Instead of being like six guys,
and the only people that really would care necessarily are the people here. Yeah, the people that already care about your personal life.
Yeah,
the random guys that are listening to the station for sports don't really need to know everything that's going on in your. That's totally fine with me. I dig it. Like that you did it here. I just assumed that if you did it here on Wednesday, you'd be do breaking news Thursday on the Junkies, but I guess it never happened. So. More power to you, man.
It's just, you know how it is. It's more segmented. So like if I have a thought that pops in my head, I can just circle back and bring it up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's more free flowing here. It's not as, condensed.
Gotta go to break. Or you're being interrupted.
Yeah. That too. I don't know. It's just, it's more of a comfort thing here.
So everybody who needs to know knows, and that includes you, Biddies. And yeah, I'm, you know what? I'm really high on the Biddies right now because they're sending you lots of props, right? In your DMs.
Yeah. Not just props, just congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah, that's what I mean.
99% of people are very nice.
Oh, somebody sent a mean message?
I can't say it's 100%.
Yeah. All right. And for the most part, the listeners have been really kind to me.
I've been tagged in that too.
And it makes me feel good. You don't have to do that, or if you don't, you don't see it. But people are telling me my hair already looks awesome.
It does. It does look really good.
I got an open wound on my head. You know,
if you can't see the top of your head, like if you only see it at a profile,
yeah.
I think it looks pretty good. I guess one more glaze I need to do is, and this involves your hair, but it's not in the nitty gritty. Your hair is a huge topic on the show, and I think it will be for months on end. I find your procedure. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to call it besides like a hair transplant.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
I want to use the right technical terms.
You can say transplant,
but your procedure, your hair transplant is, and I don't want people to think I'm going over the top, but I'm sure there'll be accusations. You might think that as well, but I find it inspirational.
I don't. Okay.
All right.
I don't. People have said that too, and I'm not. And but if they're baldies, I get. But you're not a baldy.
No, I find.
Even though I'm kind of trying to take you down.
Trust me.
I know.
And it's been tilting me that you're trying to bring me down.
I may
with you.
Or may not have gotten a message from Dr. Burka about your hair.
Oh. Interesting.
Well, you know what? He'll be on the show next week. He can examine you.
I know. Is he going to be in studio?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do a live examination.
We'll do a live examination of you on the air.
Okay. I find this whole process inspirational. And what do I mean by that? Drab had something he did not like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something that was you're able to change. And he took the bull by the horn, and after many, many, many rejections, he still got back up on that horse and was and crossed the finish line.
Yeah.
And finally was able to accomplish it. It's kind of twofold. Number one, you've been shot down so many times by this, and your persistence and your dedication to it,
yeah,
was got you in the door, got you the meeting, got you the deal.
Well, it is
that's one fold.
It serves two purposes. Yeah. It definitely serves me. You know, there's no doubt about that. That I'm getting a change in my life, but I also know that it's possibly good content for the show.
It's
a win-win. And if the junks get enough of it or whatever, then that's fine. They don't have to check in on it all the time.
Right,
and,
right.
We're
not going to force feed the content down the listeners' throats like it's foie gras. We're if you're interested in it, we're going to talk about it. Mm. But also the fact that you change something about you, and that's very hard to do. Like a ROM formation almost. Like, right?
A drab formation.
A,
yeah, okay.
A drab formation happened.
Yeah.
It's like losing weight.
Yeah, but
it's
wouldn't like, that be inspirational?
What, a weight loss?
Yeah, like getting jacked.
No, I think they're one in the same. They're one in the same. And I mean, obviously one takes more dedication more time and more effort.
What's inspiration? I mean, I'm not trying to change your mind because I do like this praise.
Okay.
But if I went and got liposuction,
I would still praise you.
Really?
Yes.
Is this because I'm a man and this is not something that men usually do?
I think there's a little bit of hint in that as well. Mm-hmm. That it's unmanly to do this. But the fact that you came face to face with something that was personally repulsive to you.
Okay.
Something that got your confidence down, that really affected your self-esteem. I find that inspirational. Like everyone out there, whether they say it out loud or not, or say it to a friend or not, or internalize it, has something about them that they wish that they could change.
Yeah.
Every single person, every single guy, every single girl has this. And you vocalized what it was about you physically. And not only did you have the courage, I'm saying inspirational and courage, mm-hmm. after the episode after Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Okay. But you had the courage.
We're storming beaches here.
To change it.
Yeah.
And I applaud that. I find that brave. I find that inspirational. And I think, every guy should be open about stuff they don't like about them.
Yeah.
And be willing to explore every avenue to change it.
So I actually wanted to pick your brain about this a little bit. Again, most of the listeners have been awesome. And even the ones that haven't, you're not going to hurt my feelings. So it's fine. And you're welcome to have your opinion. But where is the acceptable line for self-improvement? Let me ask you. I think I generally have pretty good self-esteem. Like, I'm comfortable in the decisions I've made in my life. I'm comfortable in the way I feel about myself, right? I'm pretty sure of who I am. Now, look, I didn't like being bald, but to me, it just like was something that was taken away from me, and that I get, like, people get cancer or lose their legs or have awful things to happen to them, and that's part of life. Being bald was not the end of the world.
It was, and it's a vanity thing.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is, like, am I a vain person for wanting to get, like, I've never felt like I'm a vain person. And maybe that's just a lack of, I don't know, how I see myself. I don't think I'm a vain person. To me, like, is not wanting yellow teeth vain? Is, or say my tooth fell out. I was tweeting somebody this today who said I'm acting like I have some lifelong illness. This guy was tweeting me this today. And I kind of think, well, if my front tooth fell out, I could live without my front tooth. It'd be no big deal. But I wouldn't look my best. Wouldn't, if your tooth fell out, wouldn't you want to go to a doctor and say, hey, can you fix my tooth?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see hair restoration. The technology has caught up to it, and in maybe 30 years, it's just like having a tooth fall out. Of course you would fix that. You would never want to be bald. You would never want your tooth to fall out. You would never want, I don't know, one, I mean, some things affect the way you live, but it's a minor inconvenience.
That person that did that, they're comparing what you had done to a facelift.
Or a vitiligo. Like, say you got vitiligo on your face.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to put cream on it?
Yes.
Or if acne all over your face?
Yes.
You would want.
You think I didn't take Accutane as a 16-year-old?
This is kind of how I view it. So maybe it's a little vain. I guess I'm not above that. But generally, I just think that something easy to improve in my life, something I didn't like the way I view myself, I wouldn't want yellow teeth. I would want to correct that.
You keep. I have yellow. Hey,
listen, you're all buying the whitening toothpaste. Everyone listening is doing that. You're doing it for a reason, because you want to look your best. Generally, I want to look my best. That's why we work out, not just for to be fit for life, but you also want to look good.
Yes,
I don't see it that different.
This person is equating it to, you know, like, you know how you see in the India Times / New York Post.
Yeah,
there's this guy who spent $500,000 to look like a Ken doll.
Oh, yeah, Justin Bieber.
Yes, he's had 30 plastic surgeries because he wants to be a Justin Bieber clone. I mean, that's an extreme.
Yeah, and I think there's levels to it. I mean, I would, you know, generally, I wear Old Navy jeans. You know what I mean? I'm not wearing Gucci shoes. Like, I don't spend a lot of my wardrobe. I generally I'm not trying to impress people with the way I look. I just want to see something in the mirror that I didn't lose. That's it. That for me, that's pretty much it. Maybe it's a little vain. I guess I can accept that. Maybe if you feel I should, you should just be dealt with whatever's given to you in life. I respect that viewpoint, but that's just not how I felt about the situation. Mm.
Well, just know that I find you inspirational, and I've been thinking about
Let's
you
go
a lot.
One notch below inspirational. I don't know what the word is, but inspirational makes me a little uncomfortable.
Why? Yeah.
Because I'm not really doing anything. Like, if I was helping the homeless or something, okay, that's inspirational. I got a hair transplant.
What? I find it inspirational. Why can I say you inspire me?
Can I tell you this, though? On a side note, I've never, and maybe I've been judgmental in the past about women. And the extremes they go to with cosmetic procedures. Uh-huh. I think maybe everyone did. It's becoming more acceptable. Maybe 20 years ago.
I was thinking about that the other day. How, because I was kind of going through my Rolodex of different surgeries men yeah. and women can get. And I was like kind of comparing your hair restoration to them. Mm-hmm. Like, and then I kind of landed on Botox. Like,
I think it's pretty similar, yeah.
I think it's similar, but one is a little more, I think yours is a little more
Botox,
necessary.
And Botox was kind of a punchy
now,
line for a, you know, a decade or so.
But now,
that's fine.
But now it's commonplace.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought here. Oh. But, so I was judgmental on, probably to a degree, on people who had excessive surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot stop thinking about Kris Jenner and how good she looks. I think about it every day, Valdez. And maybe that's not something I would want for myself or for, you know, my wife to undergo. But she looks incredible. She's age 70. She got a new facelift, a new whatever they call the Blastio. What's the one with the eyes? Blastio something that Cakes needs. She looks like she's 40 years old. She looks like she could be Kim's sister. And she's 70 years old. That's where we're headed. Like, women are going to be looking hot and sexy.
At like 60?
At 60 and 70 years old.
Well, they already do, kind of. Like Carmen Electra.
Well, no, but yeah, but those, I'm just talking about the upkeep.
Elizabeth Hurley.
Elizabeth Hurley is one of one.
Okay.
And I'm sure she's also had work done. I think maybe now that I'm in the club, the vein club,
yeah.
I think I'm just much more do whatever makes you feel good.
Okay.
Like even men, if you want to get a facelift, get facelifts. If you want to get a nose job, fill those lips up.
But do you draw the line at multiples? So if someone gets a rhinoplasty, a tummy tuck, Botox, and they laser off wrinkles.
I don't know. It's a fluid situation, Matt.
Are you surgery fluid now?
No. I wouldn't. I think I did have a surgery. So, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't think I'd ever want a facelift or anything like that. Hey, by the way, big F you to the guy who, in my unveiling video, when I said most people are being kind, uh-huh. One person ricked me. He goes, looks like Drab's working on a turkey neck, too. can I work on one procedure at a time?
Hey, you should have got the 2-for-1 special.
I know. My dad has a little bit of a turkey neck. I'm sure it's definitely coming.
What is that? What causes that?
I think genetics. Oh. I don't know. I'm sure I could get the jaw thing that tightens everything up.
But
it is what it is.
All right, that's my praise of the day for you, Drab.
But thanks, man. And to the people that Dr. Burke will be in next week. We can talk more about it. But
yeah.
For those that are considering it or are enlightened by my process, definitely just continue to do the research and look into it.
Yes. We're a big do your own research podcast.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to him coming in. That should be fun. Hey, I wanted to comment about something that was on the Junk Show earlier this week when Eric was still in studio and not using one of his 1,000 vacation days.
Yeah. We got to be running out of days here. It's only May. It's still May.
I mean, he's chipping away at them week after week. I wanted to get your commentary on EB's assertion that not necessarily that soda is bad for you, because I think we all kind of know soda is bad for you, but that soda is like a childish drink. That one rocked me.
I've never in my life thought of that. Now, of course, everyone knows soda's bad for you. Everyone knows that even diet soda is not great for you, yeah, because it's probably going to give you the big C at one point in your life.
Yes, all the additives and fake sugars.
I am so mesmerized by Eric every week coming in with some new thing to fix his life that he's cutting out or he's getting into. I mean, the guy hops around on like self-improvement things constantly. He can't stick to anything.
He's on the health improvement.
It's the olive oil. It's the saunas. It's cutting soda. First off, I brought it up. Why don't you try cutting out alcohol? If you're like, you do you. I'm mostly joking around. You want to become a booze hound? Be a booze hound. It's your life. But if you're so obsessed with health all of a sudden, cut out alcohol. Everyone knows that it's poison. And if you're drinking it to the extent that I think we all think that Eric might be drinking it, I'm not saying he has a problem. I'm just saying that the guy drinks alcohol every day, or it seems like he drinks alcohol
every other day.
Every other day, and he's probably imbibing too much. He said that himself, right? If you're so worried about your health, cut out alcohol. See what that does for you. Stop with the olive oil and all the games, the shortcuts you're trying to take. He's trying to take all the shortcuts. Don't eat sugar. Eat more protein. Cut out alcohol. Like everyone knows this. These are hard things to do.
Right. Especially when you have an addiction to it.
Yeah, it's hard. And when it's in front of your face constantly, you have to be super disciplined. Work on your discipline on all things and just stop trying to take the shortcuts all the time is what I would say to him. Because he's going to come in here next week and something that he read on the Daily Mail or watched on YouTube.
Well, my reels.
Or his reels or whatever. Whatever's in his algorithm is going to inspire him to try next. Do the basic things.
Hey, you owe me a dollar. I'm willing to do a dollar bet with you right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the Instagram ads? There's two of them. One is for Dose or Doze. It's this orange shot that you do a day for your organ health.
I heard you and Mar talking about it.
Algorithm is inundated.
Let me tell you something. I'm refusing to search that because I heard you guys talking about it and saying that you got inundated, and I didn't want to be spammed with some new ad for this thing. So I refused to look it up. So I actually have no idea what it is.
I think some famous baseball player, retired baseball player, is hawking it too. And then also there's another one out there. It's this one will make you laugh. I refused to click on it, but it comes up all the time. It's called Colon Broom.
Colon Broom?
Yes.
Oh, it's like a colon blow?
It's supposed to flush out your insides.
Mm-hmm.
And they're charging $30 for something to make you shit 24/7. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
that might be good.
I guess, or I'm guessing, I'm betting you $1 by the next episode of Bit Season, he will be sucked in and had bought one of these products.
And you think it's on his algorithm?
I think it's on his algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the quick shortcut type things that he's into.
Now, I will say this. I like the content he's bringing to the show. Like, it's great content for me. Eric, anytime he wants to bring up one of these shortcuts, I love it. Because it's just interesting to hear what's going on in his life. And also, everyone is tantalized a little bit. Remember he got me with the blue blockers, the orange sunglasses.
Sleeping
things.
I also did the weighted blanket.
Like, it's great content. So I hope that he never stops bringing it to the show. Now, back to your original question of is soda for children?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I miss calling it pop.
What?
Because I was just on vacation with my parents, and growing up,
they called it pop nonstop.
I always called it pop. I never called it soda. And then I think at some point when I was in college in Arizona, it just kind of went away from me, and because everyone else was calling it soda. Mm-hmm. So I've been calling it soda for over 20 years. But I like using the word pop. I want to bring it back. So my parents say pop all the time. We had a lot of pop on the hill pit.
All right.
I've never thought that soda is for children. Now, when I brought up Sprite. Sprite to me is almost exclusively for children. Look at the marketing for it over the years. It's always targeted to children. Kids on skateboards.
It was LeBron James.
The
teen drink.
It's LeBron James. Obey your thirst. It's targeted at teenagers. Mountain Dew, same thing. And I drink a lot of Diet Mountain Dew. Those are children sodas. If it's got caramel coloring in it, there's no age limit to it. I mean, grandparents love soda. Everyone loves soda.
I would actually.
I've never thought that buying a Diet Coke is for children, or
I would actually say soda is more, way, way, way more adult than for children. Because think about when you were a kid.
You weren't allowed to have soda. Yeah.
Or you could only have a soda after this time in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have a soda before going to bed. You only can have one soda a day. There were limits on your soda consumption as a child. That's why I would say soda is for adults. You know what would be more embarrassing if you were an adult instead of buying a soda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is if you went to the counter at 7-Eleven and you had an apple juice. That is childish. Or if you had a Yoo-hoo, that is childish.
I don't know if I've ever had a Yoo-hoo. I'll tell you what's more childish than soda. Candy. Candy is for children.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of and when I say candy, I mean non-chocolate candy.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going right at Valdez here. Okay. You and Mike Marr. Now, look, you guys have been hyping up nerd clusters.
I don't hype up nerd clusters.
Mar hypes them up. But you always say that you love sugar candy, that you don't like chocolate.
Yeah, I'm a big gummy bears, Skittles, Sprees, Grunts,
Gobstoppers. If I see a grown man buying Swedish fish or something. Okay. I'm like, are you not all the way developed? Like, what is wrong with you? I just wouldn't cross my mind. I've never in years have I not bought candy for myself. Now, I did buy it recently. I bought the nerd clusters for my kids because you guys were hyping them up. And I did have a few, and they're pretty good. And I was hyping up the Sour Patch Kids during my procedure that they gave me. But I would just never go into 7-Eleven and buy Mike and Ike's. It wouldn't even.
Mike and Ike's are so silly.
If you opened a box and said, "Dreb, you want some Mike and Ike's?"
Yeah, I think
of
a
course.
Handful,
yeah, but I would just never buy it myself.
I guess if you have a sugar rush, I don't really get sugar rushes. I will say when I have sugar though, it's like I can't stop because I just it's so silly.
If it has a bunch of neon wacky colors in it, I'm just not going to eat it at this age of my life. I'm not going to buy it. Like a Sour Patch Kids or the nerd, everything's bright yellow or green or whatever. To me, that's marketed to children. Now, I will love, Snickers or something that you'd get on Halloween with a lot of chocolate in it.
Uh-huh.
I would never turn that down. But I don't buy them.
Well, adults don't really treat themselves, right? It's childish.
Yeah, I mean, I treat myself a lot, it's usually with soda.
It's childish. It's childish for an adult to go into a store and buy him or herself their own treat.
I go to 7-Eleven a lot.
Yeah, but you're not buying lemon heads.
No, I'm buying a Big Gulp Diet Coke Big Gulp. But yeah. That's my treat because that's what I like.
That's more adult.
Yeah.
I would actually say a soda is more adult than a Slurpee.
Slurpees for children. No brainer.
If you're there's only two exceptions.
Terry McLaurin loves Slurpees.
There's two exceptions.
All right, let's say the first one.
All right.
All right.
One, two, three.
July 11. All right. Everybody on Earth gets a Slurpee on 7-Eleven.
Yes. All right. The next time it's acceptable for an adult to consume and drink a Slurpee is, and this is a sliding scale, anytime it's over 100 heat index.
Okay, I'll give you that.
You give me that pass?
Yeah.
But if you're an adult going to get a Slurpee today when it's 75 degrees and overcast, alarm bells.
All right.
Something's up with you. Alarm bells.
Now, I have noticed it in my life, getting back to soda. Growing up in the Cahill house, we never had a lot of soda. Never sugar soda, never sugar cereals. Told you I eat grape nuts growing up.
Yeah.
I just never had anything silly. But my dad loved soda, okay? But he would never buy it. He would go to Rocket Mart, which is our local place up the street,
okay,
like every day, and get himself a Big Gulp, probably before work or whatever it was.
Huh?
So some of my favorite memories is when I'd get the green light from my dad to go with him to Rocket Mart and get the 44-ounce soda or whatever.
That's a big soda.
32, whatever it was back then, whatever size I got. And so I have very core memories of spending time with my dad at Rocket Mart getting sodas together. And we cheers and drink them in the car on the way back home. And so now I'm a full-blown soda addict in my life. And I know my kids should not drink soda. But it's hard. They know
how good it is?
I'm drinking, they're always asking for sips. And I'm always giving them sips behind mom's back all the time.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that
now they're going to be full blown soda.
No, is that when you do that, when you see your dad drink beer and your dad gives you a sip of beer when you're, 10 years old, and you go, like that. Now, when they take a sip of a cherry Coke, they go, ooh, this is silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, there's no make them drink it and they think it stinks.
Hey, tell me, take me through the first time your dad gave you a beer.
Gave me a beer?
Or to let you have a sip of a beer.
We were at the, I know exactly when it happened.
Because mine kind of blew my mind.
It was New Year's Eve. All right. Mm-hmm. And there was a tradition in the Valdez household that on New Year's Eve, we would watch Dick Clark and and my dad would steam some shrimp. So we'd have steamed shrimp and watch Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Two things you love, shrimp and New Year's Eve.
I know. And well, the third is about to be introduced in my life. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
So we're sitting around the kitchen table. I don't know where my brother is. My brother may have been in college. No, because I'm 5 years on. And I was probably around 10, 11, 12 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it was a freshman in college.
Yeah.
I was around 12 years old. Around 12. Maybe younger. Actually, I was younger. So anyways, this is semantics. And then my dad had one of those. You remember those old school Bud Light cans?
Mm-hmm.
And they were silver, and they had the red border, and it was kind of a navy blue Bud Light. So whatever that era of Bud Light can was, and that was my dad's.
Your dad was a Bud Light guy?
My dad's any kind of guy. He might have stopped drinking Bud Light, if you know what I mean. So
is he back on now that Shane Gillis and
I don't know.
Which can was it here?
Okay, hold on. I know exactly which one it was. It was that one that had it to the side.
Which one?
This one right here.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What? You see what I'm talking about?
This is definitely 90s.
Yeah. So we're peeling shrimp.
It says this Bud Light was born on October 17th, 2000. Remember when they put that born on date?
Yeah,
that was great marketing.
All right, so it's around 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So at the I guess I'm like 12 at the time.
Yeah.
12. So he has it sitting there, and my dad, whenever he drinks, he puts his beer like right, like front and center. Like, it's never kind of meager to the side where you just it's like out in front of him where he's grabbing it like it's a stein.
Yep.
Almost. And he's got his plate of shrimp, and he's all hunched over. And he sits at the head of the table. I mean, he's got elbows on the table, just pounding shrimp. And
king of the castle.
King of the castle. And my dad's smothering that shrimp in cocktail sauce. And then he tells you, then he got to sit there and say, Janice, you never get the spicy cocktail sauce. You always get the mild cocktail sauce. So then he lumbers over, goes into the fridge, gets the horseradish out of the fridge, and dumps it into the cocktail sauce to make it even more spicy.
Yeah.
I mean, that shrimp, you could smell it.
Burn your tongue off.
That thing would burn your tongue off.
Yeah.
All right? And then, I mean, his tongue would be sizzling from the horseradish sauce. And then he's just after everything, he takes a sip of that beer after every bite of that shrimp. And I look over and I say, hey, let me have a sip of that. And then he looks at my mom, and my mom just goes, she just rolls her eyes. Mm-hmm. And he goes, here you go. And I take it, and I take like big gulp like that. And I go, oh. And I hand it back to him, and my mom says, don't you forget that.
Yeah.
And that was the first beer experience.
It's never pleasant, the first beer experience of your life.
No, it's bitter. It's an acquired taste.
I don't think, I think I probably had wine, definitely. I mean, if you go to church, right. But I'm saying, outside of church, long, long before I ever had beer. Because I felt like wine was acceptable for like a celebration. I just remember sampling it. Like, my parents would never give me a glass of wine. We always had sparkling cider or whatever it was on Christmas Eve. But I remember just sampling it, or champagne. But I never had beer. But I have a very core memory also of sitting in my parents' room watching TV, like on a Saturday. It's the weirdest thing. Saturday, probably, felt like it was noon. I don't have any memories of my dad drinking beer around the house. He would drink beer with his buddies or at restaurants all the time. But I don't remember beer always being in our refrigerator.
Okay.
For some reason, I'm sitting there probably watching Notre Dame football or something. And my dad just walks in the bedroom with a half can of Coors Light.
Hold on. What time?
It was like afternoon on a Saturday.
Maybe you got done yard work.
But yeah, he's taking a break from yard work. It was some random thing. I don't know why he had to do it. And I just remember him looking over at me and going, you want to try this? And I was around that same age, maybe younger, too young. And he just gave me a half can of Coors Light. And I took two sips of it, of course, and didn't drink the rest of it. And it was disgusting. And I probably didn't drink again for another, I don't know, until I was 16 or so, like that, 17, whatever it was, when I first probably got drunk. And I don't know why he did that. I still, to this day, I could never imagine going into my 10-year-old kid's room and going, hey, you want a half a beer? It just seems so degenerate to me.
Maybe he felt
times have changed.
Maybe he felt like you were teetering on the edge.
Maybe I was just having a bad day.
No.
He was setting me up.
He had to man you up a little bit.
No. Yeah. I was a big Puritan square back. I wasn't doing anything.
Have you ever seen your dad drunk?
Not my mom too many times. My dad, if I have, couldn't tell. He's a man's man. Holds it well.
good for you.
Well, you've seen your dad puking his guts out.
I had to carry him home from Senor Frog's.
Really?
Yes.
Recently or a long time ago?
No, I was 15.
Yeah. Nah.
I have to drive the boat home from the point sometimes. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
When my dad went to bull roasts.
Uh-huh.
That was code for you better be in bed before he comes home.
I think my dad must have just hit it really well. I mean, my dad was doing volunteering. Like, my dad was a volunteer bartender at the Knights of Columbus once a week. He was always in there. And I know he wasn't. I know he was drinking beers probably behind the bar yeah. with these old timers that would come in there on a Tuesday night and drink. So my dad definitely liked to drink. I just don't remember beer sitting around our house a lot. Probably because I had older siblings, yeah. and he didn't want them drinking beer. So I'm sure that's why it wasn't around our house. But anytime there was an opportunity to go out to a restaurant or at a friend's house, my dad was crushing beers. But I just don't remember him sloppy drunk at any point.
We got trained early because when we used to go to Ocean City. When we used to dine out at Nick's World Famous House of Ribs, my brother and I, we were able to have one virgin strawberry daiquiri when we were little kids.
I love virgin daiquiris.
They were so good. Can you imagine being 8, 9, 10 years old in the heat of the summer Ocean City, and you get to have your one virgin daiquiri with your half rack of rib? Oh, let's have it on Earth.
We always got virgin, mudslides, mocktails at Red Robin.
Yeah,
all the time, yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Get into some more shenanigans here.
But we got to let you
What's our favorite drink, though,
these? Our favorite drink of all time is our Don't Sleep energy drink. Why? Not only does our good buddy Mike bring it to us all the time that we ask, but also it keeps us hyped up for the junks. It keeps us hyped up for bit season. We love it. I think I have one almost every single day. Show your support for the show. Show your support for soon to be hair filled drab and myself right now by going to don'tsleepenergy.com and get yourself some 12-ounce cans. Get yourself a 2-ounce energy shot right now. Save 10% on every single order by using that promo code Biddies. Type in Biddies at don'tsleepenergy.com right now and you'll save 10%. Get some today, get some swag, and remember, don't sleep. It makes you great. We'll be right back.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 173. Before we get into the second half of the show, I want to remind Biddies that Father's Day is coming up, and what better way to celebrate Father's Day for your dad, or maybe you want to get something for your husband from your kids, than getting them a cameo. Get a cameo from Drab and myself at Junkies Producers on Cameo.
It's a great gift. We put a lot of effort into them. Sure to love it. I think 5-star. On Cameo's rating. So
it helps us if you start booking them now, because there's no worse feeling than when you got to do 15 cameos in an afternoon.
It's a good feeling and a horrible feeling, Anthony, because then you know you're going to be there for quite a while.
So just a reminder, I was a little upset today because Cakes was basically describing the concert of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I expected to get the same kind of Josh Harris brother treatment as Cakes, but I did have a group of friends who went to the concert, and they just confirmed what Cakes told me, that it was an awesome concert. And I was a little upset that I missed out on bro time. I missed out on concert time, and that it was such a good show. And I got a little remorse.
I'm happy for Cakes. I'm happy for everybody that went, that got to enjoy the show. I don't understand, like, Bish, I don't understand him. He's been talking about these Metallica concerts.
He's definitely ricking my buddy Kent too. He's been talking about these Metallica concerts for months and months and months. We've been giving tickets away. We've been discussing them. He turned down the one in Virginia Tech. Turns out he was invited by freaking Josh Harris's brother to go and get the red carpet treatment, and he turned it down. For what? To give it to Cake so he could listen to Cake's talk about it for an hour the next day and live vicariously? Just go to the concert. He could have taken today off. He could have. We would have figured it out.
That's true. We would have figured it out.
Like, when is Bish going to let down that hair and have fun, Valdez?
Retirement.
He clearly likes or is intrigued by Metallica. Or he wouldn't be asking so many questions about it. Or he doesn't hate Metallica.
This is my problem. My problem is like for Jason to do stuff like this he's a recluse. I mean, there's no other way around it. He likes staying in his house. It's almost agoraphobic.
Okay. Let me ask you, is Jason rich?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Why wouldn't Jason go to the concert, stay in the suite with Josh Harris' brother, have an awesome time, and then just drive over here to the Homewood and rent a hotel for the night and come to work 5 hours, 6 hours later?
I don't know, because he has some sort of phobia of leaving his house.
I know.
But this is my point, and this is the problem, is that there couldn't have been an easier path to this concert. The stars aligned. You're not sitting in club level or in the stand or in the nosebleeds or in the pit. You are in not just a suite, but in probably the finest suite at FedEx or Northwest. Okay. Parking. You got to drive maybe 2 hours, but you have the easiest path to park your car and go into the stadium as possible. There couldn't have been an easier way for you to enjoy this concert.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everything is served on the most, not even a silver platter. It's a platinum platter.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a diamond
encrusted.
I mean, this thing, the platter is the finest platter, the finest china known to man.
But I thought Jason,
and you still turn it down. That just makes me feel like you will never go to anything, because if you're turning down something that is so easy for you,
but
someone made it so easy for you to do, you didn't go. Let me ask you a question.
But
if Josh Harris's brother said, you know what? I know it's kind of a late night and you don't want to drive 2 hours to the stadium. I'm going to just go to Ashburn Park. And Josh said he's going to have his helicopter pilot pick you up and take you to the stadium. Do you think he would have done it?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I say no.
Really? He hates traffic. That's one of the things.
No.
He hates driving.
No. He hates his routine.
Yeah.
He hates his routine being interfered with. He's so unhappy.
I know, but
about
the thought.
But he's a
jock sniffer, and he's a billionaire. He's a money. He loves rich people. What's better than sniffing the jock of the owner of a football team's brother?
the Nubs Harris.
Yeah.
Right? The Nubs Harris.
The Nubs Harris, yeah.
Okay. No. But I think he's so... He gets so on tilt about having his weekly routine upset is that he can't follow through with it. Like, if this was planned, if this concert and everything and the helicopter, our scenario was planned weeks ahead of time, okay, I think he could do it. Because he has time to process this. He has time for his routine to be interrupted. But it was basically day of, the Nubs Harris texted him and said, hey, oh, I have tickets, you want to come? That he cannot handle. He cannot handle.
He has to plan it, yeah.
Yes, he cannot handle spontaneity.
But you're kind of like that.
You're the ultimate planner.
I do plan, but I definitely allow myself wiggle room in terms of spontaneity. I am not as bad as Jason.
Okay, yeah.
I will say that. I do like to plan, but I'm not as bad as Jason. I can go with the flow a lot better than people like Jason.
But I'm actually the opposite. I hate having stuff on my calendar. Only last minute will I decide to go to something. I put off everything to the last moment, and I'll just decide on a whim to go to something. Because then if I agree to, if I tell you, oh, yeah, I'll come to your barbecue in 3 weeks, then it's kind of like looming over, you know. It's just something that you got to think about for too long. My buddy Kent texted me this morning and said, if I never have to hear about Metallica again, I'll die a happy man.
Why does he say that?
And he says when they played at Virginia Tech, Bish sounded like he missed the greatest experience on earth. He goes, the entire stadium only knew one song. Now we got to give tickets away for more than 3 weeks. He goes, I'm sure there was a 20-minute recap on today's show. Bish gives zero effort to go. Enter Sandman sucks balls. It's all triggering now. I can't handle it. He's like a, I don't know. He likes weird indie music. He's, you know, Metallica's too popular for it. Yeah.
Yeah, they've crossed over.
Yeah.
They've gone.
Metallica sucks. So he's always been, I think, Metallica here. But
you mentioned the Thomas Keller thing today.
Mm-hmm.
So I just.
One of the all time great botches.
It actually is. But I just. You think about that. That was spontaneous, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, going back, I think when he told that story, I got to pat my back patting machine. I'm the one that picked up on it because he tried to he didn't even realize what he did. He said on the show, he was talking about Scotty Cameron, right? Was it Scotty Cameron was there or something?
Yeah, Scotty Cameron. Yeah, and then he sent a putter to him.
And he goes, some famous chef, some chef came by, wanted to cook his dinner. His name was Thomas Keller or something. But I had just watched something a month earlier on the French Laundry. Okay. And I knew that that was the number one restaurant in America. And that people were sleeping on it. And he had no idea. And he had no idea at the time, even when he got back, what he passed up. He was so clueless on what an exquisite experience that people would die for to have a meal from that guy.
People fly all over the.
Remember, that's the
world.
That's the restaurant that Governor Newsom made a big deal out of because they busted him eating there during COVID or whatever when you're supposed to be on lockdown.
Yeah, restaurants are supposed to be shut down.
Yeah. It's so good that he had to secret protocol to go there.
You know what? It's a great point.
And Jason couldn't be bothered.
Jason had to have Domino's with his drunk friends and high friends on gummies.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I kind of wish I went. I'm sure we could have got tickets. I went and we gave a bazillion of them away.
I know.
Did you know anybody that went?
Yeah, I told you. I had a whole group of friends.
Oh,
that's
right. Jack went. Jack.
Yeah, yeah. Jack went. RP went. Fur went. Dan went.
And they all raved about it.
Jack texted me at 11:30. I woke up. I saw his text. He sent me a video of them Enter Sandman, which, by the way, is the most triggering thing in the world when you're watching it at 4 o'clock and you know you're getting ready to hear it in 2 hours.
Yeah.
You're watching it while you're sitting down to pee at 4 a.m. as you get ready.
Yeah.
And then you hear the song. And then he said it was his number one concert, sick experience.
Write that down. You might get in trouble. Write that down.
Zero complaints. Was awesome.
Very cool.
Chad, one more quick thing about while we're talking about music.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to explain to the biddies what you tried to do to me today.
What did I try to do?
So Drab came in and he goes, oh my God, you got to hear this. I found the song of the summer. All right. I go, oh, I'm intrigued. We just got done doing this whole song of the summer thing.
I don't think I said song of the summer.
Drab's doing backflips like Benson Boone. And he goes, you got to listen to this. And this thing is so popular. Like the guys, they're performing this at sold out places. And I bet you never heard this song. Like, okay. I'm intrigued. I'm a music man. Let me hear it. And so he turns it on. I go, oh, this hook's pretty good. All right. And then all of a sudden, they're going like, my heart's broken. But I got Jesus. And I go, okay.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Play the song. Okay. Play the song.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, I need you now more than any ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world till my head hit her just to find out your ways better. Oh, oh, your ways better.
Hey, you know what? Jesus Walks was a pretty popular song.
He goes, my broken heart together after I read the Bible. And I'm going, holy moly. It's like Elaine when she's driving Putty's car. And then all of a sudden, all the presets are Jesus channels. And then I put two and two together. And I look at Drab, and he's got this grin on his face. And he's going, I've really gotten into Christian rock.
That's not what I said. That is not what I said. All right, let me tell you what happened. First off, I told you I made no secret about it. I was into the Pope Leo and the Vatican, and you know, obviously I've told you I'm Catholic and I go to Mass.
Yeah, Drab's rediscovering his faith.
No, hold on. First off, Catholics really don't get down with Christian rock, and that's like a Protestant thing, right?
Okay.
So it's actually kind of the opposite of what we do, because we do hymns and all that stuff. So we do typically, you don't sing a lot of like upbeat song or like Christian. There's no band at Catholic Mass, right? There's no kind of bass guitar.
Drab's watching too much Righteous Gemstones.
I'm not. So I got the Pope in my algorithm, okay? And I watched a lot of the Pope videos because I'm intrigued by it.
Yeah.
So I think it crossed over into more Jesus stuff on my algorithm. And I'm getting, no offense, too much Jesus stuff in my algorithm. I've gone the complete opposite of what it usually is, of girls in their silky panties. So I got a lot of Jesus stuff. And I keep seeing this like white guy with a mustache. And I never clicked on it. I didn't even know what it was, but I kept seeing him over and over and over again. So finally, like a few days ago, I clicked on it, and it's this guy's name. He's got the whitest name in the world.
Luke.
No, his name's Forrest Frank.
Oh my God.
Okay. He's like some blonde guy. He kind of looks like if Mike Marr had a mustache and changed his haircut a little bit. Look up Forrest Frank on your phone, Valdez.
Okay. All right.
He does not look like a hip hop artist. He doesn't even look like a Jesus. Maybe he does.
You know who he looks like?
Who does he look like?
I know exactly who he is.
Does he look like a young Alan Jackson?
No, he's not singing Chattahoochee. He looks like the GIF of the guy who's shaking his head and goes, what the fuck? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
He looks like that.
So look up Forrest Frank. I finally clicked on it, and it was this video of him like singing the song. The song comes on, and it's catchy. There's no doubt about it. It's a catchy song. And the video cuts of him like pre-show, and it's an empty arena. And then when the beat drops, it changes the scene, and it's him doing it in front of like 15,000 people, a sold out arena. I've never even heard of this guy. And I'm like, what is this? Who is this guy in this big arena that he's performing with all these people, this packed arena? And then I look at the comments, and the first comment is from Russell Westbrook, of all people.
Okay.
And it's got like fire emojis all over it. And then I look at his Instagram profile, and it says 4 million followers. I have no idea who Forrest Frank was. I look him up. He's got like two songs in the top 100.
He has one song that's the number. It reached number 2 on the U.S. Viral 50 chart.
So, okay. That's how I hear it. I'm in the reels.
Yes.
The song's called Your Way's Better, I think is what it's called. Okay. But no,
is it not No Longer Bound?
No, I think that's a previous one. He's got another one that I think I had heard before.
Okay.
On reels or something. It's called Up.
Okay.
All right. And I look them up, Valdi. It's got like, oh, they got over 100 million streams on Spotify. Because I definitely listened to a few of them on Spotify. And it is kind of, he's got catchy songs.
But why are you?
I saw a headline that said Christian music makes its way into the Billboard charts. It's not just me. People are picking up on it. I don't know what it is.
Are you going to his Child of God Part 2 tour?
And then he's wearing Child of God merch, and it looks like I don't know. I think Westbrook wears his clothes. I don't know the connection there, but he's blowing up. And it's not just Christian. I couldn't tell you one Christian band in the history of the world besides it's either Switchfoot or Hoopasync. One of them is a Christian band. I don't even know which one is what. One of them is. Other than that, I couldn't tell you a Christian.
Maybe Switchfoot. You know Kirk Franklin?
Well, I know Kirk Franklin is, but I only know him from the. No, that's Kirk Cameron. Who's Kirk Franklin?
Kirk Franklin was a musician.
I have no idea who the musician Kirk Franklin is.
He's the black musician. He had popular songs. They used to play it on PGC.
Well, okay, gospel singers. I might know Yolanda Adams.
Kind of crossed over.
No, I'm talking about like white guy. You said Christian rock. I didn't grow up. I never did that. I don't know any Christian rock bands. I've never listened to Christian rock in my life. This guy, he's got crossover appeal.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right, okay. I can understand that. I can understand crossover appeal. Do you know what he needs to do now? He needs to collab.
With like Post Malone or something?
Yes. He needs to find somebody to put him and his genre over, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, if Morgan Wallen could be number one on the charts, this guy can get a top 20 hit. I don't know where it's at on the charts right now, but he's on his way.
He needs a pop superstar to have him featured on their song to put him over.
I think you're right, yeah. Let's see if anybody that I know is following Forrest Frank.
It would be kind of uncomfortable if Sabrina Carpenter had him on one of her songs.
Well, she's too... Sabrina could do it but there are some artists, like Cardi B could not be doing a song with her... With Forrest Frank. Just remember, you heard it here first.
Forrest Frank is a superstar.
12 people I know follow Forrest Frank.
Okay.
This isn't just me. Let's see, 12 people I follow. JC United follows Forrest Frank. Okay. Russell Westbrook. Tom Green. A lot of these are just people I know in my personal life. Jermaine Kearse, former Seahawks wide receiver. Follow him still. I'm sure there's a bunch of other celebrities. That's it on my list. It looks like some other people from like my high school and stuff.
What about like Billie Eilish?
Billie Eilish could do a song with Forrest Frank. And maybe she has. Maybe I'm just way slow to this guy.
No, I like this. I like
that. I'm putting you on to.
No, I
but
just,
here's here. If you see me doing this, you can. Oh, by the way, Savannah Bananas, they're pretty popular, right?
Yeah.
The Savannah Bananas are doing the Forrest Frank dance. It's a viral dance. That's why I think it's gotten super popular.
Is this where the heart's broken?
Yeah, your heart's broken. Yeah. You put it back together. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah, I'm begging you to do the viral dance with you tomorrow.
Maybe. All right. You guys let me know if you're into Forrest Frank,
too.
Yeah,
you know what? Everyone do the viral dance.
Send it to me.
And send it to Drown.
All right,
but this is... I guess we'll wrap it up.
Did you put the song in the clip here? Put the song in the clip.
I'm putting the song in the clip. I'll put the whole chorus in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
All right, guys. Everybody have a great weekend.
We apologize for the hacks.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I'll get some more medicine.
Dr. Burke will be on Bit Season next week.
And we'll do
get
a
your
live,
questions
yeah,
in if you have
yeah,
any.
Yeah, yeah. Get your questions right. in. We'll do a live hair analysis, and he'll let me know if I'm a candidate and what my future holds as I grow older.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact. on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.